This is the Best Boys Podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya.
Friends.
Comrades.
Romans.
Colleagues.
Monica.
Peers.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How was your Thanksgiving, friend?
My Thanksgiving was lovely. I made a pie and I brought you some today.
It was exquisite. It's my favorite kind of pie she makes. I don't. Is it a pie? It feels more like it's a tart, maybe.
It's a pie.
It's like
a mousse pie.
It's a mousse pie. I love a mousse pie. I love the crust. It's made out of like, I don't know. It's made out of something crunchy.
It's made out of Biscoff cookies.
Yeah, sure. Biscoff cookies. That shit's bomb. It was truly an experience.
Transcendent.
It was transcendent. Yeah. My entire body lifted into the sky.
Wow.
Did like a full like swan lake sequence.
Yeah.
And then came back down into my body.
That's incredible.
Where I then went,
Yeah, we were supposed to serve it at a Friendsgiving that we did not have because Monica got food poisoning.
I got very, very ill.
Or like, would we call it food poisoning if you just ingested meat when you know you're not supposed to?
No, it was definitely food poisoning.
It was definitely self-poisoning.
No, I mean, I feel like that maybe played like an extremely small part.
Monica, I've literally seen you vomit your butt off for a day because you took a bite of pork.
Well, yes. However, in this instance, uh-huh. In this specific case,
yeah.
I would argue that it was definitely food poisoning.
Why?
Because the fish dish looked iffy.
But no one else got food poisoning.
I rest my case.
Okay.
This is all I have to say about that.
Monica ate brisket when she is not allowed to eat red meat.
It's very true. I'm allergic to
it. I think you sabotaged Friendsgiving.
I definitely did not.
She did.
I believe it.
Wow. I need to leave. I can't live like this.
This is my podcast now.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Today we're going to talk about Florence. And I'm going to tell you all of my opinions.
You're doing it wrong. Okay. I have to come back.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't like it when things are
Aaron's
not
my
the
co-host
way
now.
I want it to be.
Aaron can finally be on the podcast. This is one true dream.
I just want everything to go exactly the way I want it to go.
How difficult
is that to achieve?
There's a tree in my eye line of you.
There's
today.
A tree in my eye line of you too.
And I have to keep blinking.
So tomorrow
yeah.
is the December 1st.
Yeah.
There's a little mini tree in front of us, a little yeah. Christmas tree. There's yeah. a Christmas tree in my living room. I have a little Christmas village.
I wanted them to believe that we were just in a forest and we had chosen to sit on either side of a tree.
No, we did not. So my Christmas tree this year, I went for like a Victorian Christmas theme. Lots of doves, lots of bows.
It's Victorian because it's very thin and poorly
yes,
fed.
Exactly. It's just so it cholera. It has so much cholera. And I've got a Christmas candle lighting and
love it.
You know, it's I have a tree mote, which is a remote that I use to control the tree.
Wow.
You can turn it on or off.
This
those
really
are the two
is
options.
2022.
It really is. Also, like, I just hate the idea of like needing to go and like unplug the tree every single fucking time.
I know,
time.
What a slog.
So I decided to invest, like the $13.99 it took to like
remote.
Give me peace of mind.
I understand.
So, am I going to be Adam Sandler and Click? Yes. This is going to be my next future, if you will. I'm going to use the tree moat so much that I'm going to walk into a Bed Bath & Beyond. Christopher Walken's going to fucking be there.
Right.
He's going to be like, and beyond. And I'm going to be like, fuck yeah. I'm going to hand him my tree moat.
Uh-huh.
He's going to hand me back a crazy tree moat. And then I'm going to live my life in the future.
Wow.
And all of my kids are going to hate me.
Good. Okay.
That's
I'll
like,
hate you too.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie Click?
Yeah. It made me really sad.
There you go.
And we'll be right back. Now back to the show.
So today we're talking about the final two Florence Pugh movies. Remember, we told you we were going to do two in one because of my COVID that 1 week.
Yeah, she had COVID 1 week and then
we could not record. And now I don't have COVID. And now we're doing two movies.
Two movies.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for this?
I'm really excited. I'm excited to talk about both, but I'm especially excited to talk about the first one here.
Me fucking
too. Monica, there's going to be a lot of opinions rolling around.
I agree.
So the first movie of this episode that we are doing for Florence Pugh is Don't Worry, Darling. Came out in 2022, written by Katie Silberman, story by Carrie and Shane Van Dyke. Yes, Dick Van Dyke's sons, I believe.
Sons.
Children.
Right?
I think they're both men.
Carrie and Shane?
Yeah.
Carrie and Shane. Shane. Yeah. Carrie and Shane.
Famously directed by Olivia Wilde. How could we forget?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, this movie. Alice, played by Florence Pugh, a 1950s housewife, is living with her husband Jack, played by Harry Styles, in a utopian experimental community in the desert called the Victory Project. However, when Alice begins to worry that their glamorous lifestyle could be hiding disturbing secrets.
Wow.
Bad things start to happen.
And disturbing secrets there are. Well, yeah. Really, it's just one disturbing secret.
Really just one disturbing secret.
Yeah. So I don't understand the plural in the synopsis or this, like, whatever.
Well, I suppose there are lots of mini secrets within the world that she's like, oh, this is hiding the big secret.
Such as the eggs. The eggs are a mini secret.
That's a mini secret. Okay, this movie. I want to get our shit talking out of the way first so that we can talk about the Florence's performance, because I do think she does really well in this movie.
Right off the fucking bat.
Tell me.
Let me paint a picture for you very quickly, because I think that, like, what I'm about to say, I don't want it to, like, I honestly don't want it to go into, like, the echo chamber that is, like, the critique on Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
I just don't want that to happen.
Because there's too much.
So I want to paint a picture of, I think Olivia Wilde and what she is doing in the film industry is rad.
I agree.
I think that she is a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
I think she is a brilliant filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I think she's a highly creative individual. And I think that what she's doing as a woman in film is really extraordinary, especially with her debut film, Booksmart.
Yes.
Now with Don't Worry, Darling, very brave of her to like take something that is just so different from comedy, which is like her background. That's like what she does and what she's the most good at. Going from that to something like this, like, weird dystopian psychological thriller situation. Like, I really commend her for that. There's so much unnecessary bashing of her for, like, only the reason that A, she's dating Harry Styles and all of the Harry stans are gonna come through and bash her.
Yeah.
B, she's a woman. Facts. In the film industry, trying to, like, being a director, trying to live her best life.
Right.
And see, because of the supposed infighting, the drama, the tea surrounding this movie, including shamed Shia LaBeouf supposedly, like, having to, like, be fired from this movie or quit. Whatever the truth was, whatever it ended up being.
He was like, we both know that I left because of scheduling. Like, that's not a surprise. And there's there's just a bunch of bullshit about this movie. And, like, there's a lot of evidence that Olivia was a little shady. I'm going to say she was a little shady.
Yes, I will say it definitely seemed like she was playing a lot of different angles from all of the, like, we're talking not the rumors, not the gossip, like the cold hard evidence.
Like the video that she sent of herself, like, speaking to Shia LaBeouf.
I get it. So all this to say, I don't want what we say or what everyone else says to take away from the fact that Olivia Wilde achieved something really extraordinary.
Yeah.
Not a lot of women get to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Period. Even now. Yes. Literally even now. So.
Yeah.
That's really it. That's really all I wanted to say to paint this, like, picture before we go inside, before we open up the picture and step inside the fridge. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right off the bat, I didn't enjoy this movie as much as I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
It
Same.
Went in a very, in my opinion, stupid direction.
It was really predictable.
It was very annoying. It had no nuance. It was very just in your fucking face about it. Mm-hmm. And I got very, very angry. Not because, like, I care enough about this movie to get angry, but because in general, I hate it when people have the opportunity to, like, take something like this concept, which is, to be fair, like something like this has been done before in a million different ways.
Literally just like an extended episode of Black Mirror.
Yes, I literally was about to say, like, yeah. I understand, like, this could have been great. That's what I'm trying to say, is like, I hate it when a movie takes a concept like this and really just like low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you know, female autonomy, cool. Like, let's just do that. Right. Like, there could have been so many other things that they did with this movie that they just like were like, nah, it's fine. Let's just be lazy about it. It's cool.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like my first big annoyance with this film, is just the lack of nuance and how unbelievably not subtle this movie was.
Yeah.
It hurt me.
Yeah. I think there were so many parts of this movie that I just wanted more from, because like, don't get me wrong, this movie is like fucking eye candy.
Oh yeah.
The visuals are beautiful. Oh. Like, the costumes are beautiful. The sets were
location.
Beautiful. Yeah, the location was amazing.
Palm Springs, all the beautiful mid-century houses.
Yeah, dude. Like, there were some really, really stunning visuals. And like, I did think like the visual of all the men leaving and like driving through the desert to like that
so
weird
good.
Victory headquarters. It's very cool. Stunning. Like, there's a lot of really effective visual work. I like the music a lot. I thought the soundtrack was amazing and like deeply unsettling. The scoring that they had under it, like all that weird buzzing, freaked me out. But there were so many opportunities in this movie to give us more that like they couldn't give us more with the timing that they had. Like, there needed to be a lot of editing, a lot less like ruminating on weird visuals
or like,
and like
breath, you know, time. There are so many scenes of Harry Styles and Florence Pugh's characters like getting it the fuck on.
Yeah, also that entire scene with Harry Styles just dancing on a stage, like that was the one part of the movie where I wanted to just go, Olivia, mad respect, Olivia. Girl, but like, this didn't need to be in the movie.
This is the only
we can watch your boyfriend dance on YouTube.
That is the only moment in the film where I was like, Olivia, I respect you so much.
But no.
But no dick is worth this.
No
dick is worth this, girl.
He's not the star of the fucking movie. Him dancing like a little monkey has no bearing upon the story.
Nothing.
Whatsoever.
It's just him. And he's like tap dancing.
This is the thing that bothers me, because a lot of people are like, Harry Styles is a garbage actor. I don't think Harry Styles is a garbage actor. I think he's an amateur who was put in a movie where
heavy hitters
with a lot of heavy hitters. And also, like, again, mad respect to Olivia, but I think she was trying to make his character more like bigger than it needed to be.
Absolutely.
And so there was like a lot of focus on him for parts, and like the script wasn't good enough to facilitate what she was trying to get from him.
Literally.
There were a lot of problems. He had a very small purpose to serve, but they made it seem like he was supposed to be this giant thing. And he's just not.
This is the one time where I will say, like, I hate Shia LaBeouf and all of the horrific things that he has done in this world.
Correct.
But that man is an actor.
He would have done way better.
He would have done way better.
Yeah, he would have been amazing.
I probably wouldn't have seen the movie.
Correct.
But
he would have been
literally
better.
Anyone else would have done a better job. And it's not, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a garbage actor. I think that he emotes, like, he has a lot of like passion in him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it obviously has to do with the fact that he's an artist. He's a musician. I get it. I totally understand that. But do not set him up for failure.
Yeah.
Don't set him up for failure. He was in that one movie, the war movie.
Dunkirk.
He didn't speak. He barely spoke.
No, and people were like, he was amazing.
And people were like, that motherfucker was amazing. And you know what? He low-key was, because he did not speak.
What he did was great, and now all of a sudden he has, like, starring roles. That new movie he just came out, that he's in, My Policeman.
Random.
Whatever the fuck that's about.
Random.
He's in that. He's going to be in a fucking Marvel
movie.
It's confusing. Put him in some acting classes. Let him be in a couple art house films. Like, that's what I want to see.
That's also what I want to see. So, no. We're not on the We Hate Harry Styles bandwagon.
No, it's just like, this was not for him.
They did not set him up for success. I will never forgive the fact that they didn't set him up for success. And I am not a fan or a stan of Harry Styles. I'm just not.
Yeah.
And it's not because I don't respect. Like, I respect the girlies who love him.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I think even now, they fucked him.
Yeah. I totally agree.
More than he fucked Florence Pugh in this movie.
Which is a lot. It's a lot.
So.
Okay. So now we get to Florence.
So that was just, you know, our little pettiness about this film. At the end of the day, it's a great film and you should go watch it. Like, I think if anything, A, just to support Olivia Wilde and, you know, women in the film industry
in
general.
Like, it's a fun sci-fi.
I would not call it a romp by any means. It's just highly entertaining in the way that a Black Mirror episode is entertaining.
It's like, it's a long Black Mirror episode.
Exactly.
So if you like Black Mirror, go watch Don't Worry, Darling.
Buckle up. Yeah. Florence Pugh did something in this movie that I thought was just amazing, which is she stepped the fuck up and said, "This is my film."
Yeah.
Like, she literally was like, "You bitches thought. You bitches sat there and thought that you were gonna get the royalties for this film. No, this is my movie." And I was living. She did such a good job.
She did a really good job. Like, I don't fully buy all the bullshit that Olivia Wilde has said about, like, this movie is just about, like, femininity and, like, harnessing your female sexuality. I was like, no, this movie's about a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And I do think the sex scenes were gratuitous and, you know, like, whatever. Anyway.
I rarely think that. But this movie, yeah.
While I do think that explanation is bullshit, I will say that she does come off as, like, very free, very comfortable in her sensuality, in her femininity. Like, I don't, because she does not, like, Florence Pugh doesn't strike me as, like, a refined actor. She can do refined work, but when I look at her, like, there's just so much depth and, like, artistry to her. Like, she doesn't come across as, like, neat. You know what I mean?
She's so rugged.
Yeah.
You look into her eyes, or at the very least, you look into the screen, into the camera that captured her eyes. But you look into her eyes and you think to yourself, like, yeah, I would stick with you in an apocalypse.
Yeah. She can fucking throw.
Bitch did the Get Out run at the end of the fucking movie.
Yeah, dude.
And she killed it.
Yeah.
She was just pumping those arms. I was like, go, Flo, go.
Yeah. So when I see her in this environment where she is like this deeply feminine, like 1950s housewife, cooking, cleaning, being like a sexual object, being super fashionable, et cetera, et cetera. She looks fantastic doing it and also looks very comfortable doing it. And I think that in and of itself is a skill.
I agree. I think it's really, really difficult. Like, I don't want to, like, compare them, but I think Olivia Wilde in this film very naturally fits into it, mm-hmm. right? She's tall. She's beautiful. She's, like, very striking. She's very, like, floozy, like, ah. And Florence Pugh, when you look at her, you're like, you're beautiful, but you're not Olivia Wilde.
No.
Like, you're not, like, tall and thin and whatever. Like, I think that she really surprised me with mm-hmm. how well she handled all of, like, the mannerisms of the 1950s housewife, as well as, like, really dive into that, like, sitting, having cocktails, like, on the lawn, like, mm-hmm. gossiping, chattering. She looked truly just, honestly, she looked like fucking luminescent chilling there. And I was, like, truly taken aback. And that's not to say that she's not a beautiful woman or that she's not also, like, very striking and also, mm-hmm. you know, very lovely. But like I said, Flo is rugged.
Yeah, so she's not an ingenue.
She's not. Thank you. She's very much like, she's definitely like the headliner of the indie film.
Right.
But she is not like the Audrey Hepburn of right. anything. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And in this movie, she absolutely was.
Yeah, totally. She also like, I mean, fuck her and Harry Styles. I thought her best chemistry, weirdly, was with Olivia Wilde.
No, literally.
Like they act very, very well together.
Because it's two like really good actors playing off of each other. And they both had incredibly different energies, but they were like best friend vibes the entire time.
Yes, exactly. And like, so they played those roles very, very convincingly. And I know like there's tea now, but like at least in the movie, they were amazing. And maybe this is me giving undue credit, but I'm thinking about like, if there is as much drama happening as there are rumors about, and her to still have that chemistry with someone she's feuding with, who's also the director of the film, you know, I mean, yes, it's an actor's job to like not let that shit get to you, but she really does pull it off seamlessly.
I mean, it's gorgeous. I think she also gives us a lot of the essence of the flow frown without actually going into the full, because that would not be ladylike.
Yeah.
That would not be ladylike if she went into the full flow frown.
No. She gives us tastes.
She gave us essences. She did some gorgeous, this is going to sound insane. She did some gorgeous forehead work in this.
Yeah.
The furrowing of her brow.
Yeah, I would agree.
But like in different, quantities. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah,
she was fucking amazing.
I totally agree.
She this movie, her back carrying.
Yeah, I also think she was very comfortable, and she's always been like this, but like it really showed to me in this, she's very comfortable in her voice and how she speaks and carries herself vocally. Like I think particularly about the scene where it's right after the dinner party where she confronts Chris Pine, and she's
Frank, the main architect of this
the
world.
Cult leader.
Yes. Good Lord.
And she's getting into the car with Harry Styles, and she's like, we have to leave. And then the men in red come, and she sees them, and then she looks at Harry Styles, and then she starts freaking out, and she's like, no, come on, no. And she realizes that her husband has abandoned her.
Ugh.
And now she's gonna get taken away somewhere.
It's like the best scene.
It kind of is the best scene. And she, like, the highs and lows that her voice takes, and I also consider the fact that like she's British and she's just so comfortable with going to the farthest reaches of emotion. And like the way that she emotes during that scene, I don't know, it's fucking heartbreaking watching her face change, knowing that she has been sold out and can't trust anyone. Like, so, so heartbreaking. And I really just was like, oh, fucking bravo, girl.
She just did so well. I love the, like, she gives this, like, half look of, like, I'm so fucking scared right now.
Yeah.
Anger, and also, like, please forgive me.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, she wants to save her ass. Like, all she's saying the entire time is, like, I'm sorry, I'll be better.
Yeah, she's I'll be better.
And but what her voice and what her body's telling us is, no, I don't want to go, but I'm also fucking pissed at you.
Yeah.
And I low-key, like, kind of am curious. She was a little bit, like, leaning into it, but also not. She was fucking terrified the entire fucking time. And when they took her into the room where they, like, did the fucking electroshock therapy.
Dude.
This woman.
See, but this is why I need more time in this movie, because I need someone to fucking explain to me how electroshocking a simulated version of someone works.
That's the thing, is like, I don't think she was simulated in that moment. I think they literally took her out, did the fucking buzz buzz on her, and then put her back into the fucking simulation.
The only person, but they say at the end, the only person who can put her back in is Harry Styles.
That's so true.
So,
yeah, how does that work?
Exactly. That's why I also don't understand the, if you die in the simulation, you die in real life. That's bullshit. How
does
that work?
Isn't that like in The Matrix?
Yeah.
If you die in The Matrix, you die in real life.
It also makes no sense to me then.
That also makes no sense. I think maybe because, well, maybe it's like your brain like explodes from like too much information.
I don't fucking know, dude. I have no idea.
I honestly don't
know
how simulations
work. I need more rules. I also need to know, what the fuck is Gemma Chan's role in this movie?
She's the wife of the main architect.
Well, I know she's the wife of the main architect, but at the end, she stabs him and she's like, "You stupid man." And I was like, what's her beef?
Well, her beef is everyone else's beef, which is all the wives like wake up after the security breach.
I think she knew.
She been knew?
I think she knew. 100% I think she knew and is like pissed off. I think it's pulling a Glenn Close, Christopher Walken, and Stepford Wives being like, this was my idea and you fucked it up.
Yes.
But we have no information. And so we're just like, oh, you stabbed your husband. Like, I know he's an asshole, but why are you so mad?
And it was like, it wasn't just like, I'm going to do this in a fit of rage. It was like, I'm going to do this and also fucking like drive the knife in further.
She twists that fucking butcher's knife in his, oh my God.
It's fucked up.
I needed more. Like, if you're going to cast Gemma Chan, you need to like give me more information.
She was underused.
Yeah, dude.
Do not cast
Gemma. She also has that whole scene. She has like two scenes in the movie.
She has the ballet scene.
Right. Yeah, she's in some scenes. But anyway, one of her big scenes is where she like yells at Florence Pugh at the dinner table and she's just like, how dare you? He's a brilliant man. He's a genius, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, I don't understand her intentions. I don't really get what's going on. I'm going to need to Google the original script and see what the fuck is happening.
It's just so weird because like we're living in such an insane time. Mm-hmm. There are so many like podcasts and like videos out there about like by men promoting like hyper masculinity and like, making your girlfriend or wife like submissive and feminine and pretty and whatever. And it was kind of alarming to me when I saw this movie and all of the women just started like trying to like run away or like Gemma decided to kill her husband and like all of this shit because where are they getting their wives? Are they with them to begin with? And then they just drag them into the simulation?
So this is the question. Do you remember? I didn't notice it until the second time I watched it, but there's like a tiny detail where we're in the real world, quote unquote, and we see Harry Styles' character and he is being asked those questions by the people who let you into the Victory Project.
Because he's an applicant for the Victory Project because he found out about it through his like wormhole of like...
Yeah, like a podcast.
Yeah, his
shit.
Like hyper masculine, whatever. Yeah. Do you want to change your life?
They ask him a question and it was like chosen spouse, Alice, whatever her last name is, previous relationship, yes. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to believe that you could just fucking pick a bitch
no,
and take her in with you, which is a whole other
level
of crazy shit. But then there's also the fact that Olivia Wilde knew about the simulation. She wanted to be there, which leads me to believe that like her and Nick Kroll in real life are a real couple decided together to do the Victory Project.
Which, LOL, what a pair. Yeah. What a pairing. Never in a million years would I ever have been like, yeah, for sure.
No, but they're pretty
Nick
funny
Kroll
together.
And Olivia. Because, I mean, she's a comedic genius.
Yeah.
She really is. So I think you're absolutely right. Also, her character's children died in real life. So I think you're right.
I want more information there.
I think they made a joint agreement to be like, let's go live our lives in the simulation because this fucking blows.
Then there's the woman who's always pregnant who I assume never gives birth because the children aren't real. And they say that line, you know, the one who's always pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did they just no one ask questions?
The real question is like, does she ever drink alcohol? If she's always pregnant.
Probably.
It's
the 50s.
Maybe. She also like lit a cigarette and smoked some meth. It's fine. It's the 50s.
It's the 50s. Go on diet pills.
Dude, I literally just fucking can't. This movie, you're absolutely, like, I completely agree with you. It should have just been a miniseries.
Yeah.
Because there are so many questions left unanswered that I do not believe the movie could have possibly told us if it didn't
and
have
I
more
think,
time.
And I think, regardless of how predictable the ending is, I think it could have still been a really good miniseries.
I agree. Also, like, color me crazy, but I did want to see her coming back into her body.
Yes.
Like, I wanted to see that. Like,
she's handcuffed to the bed. How does she get out?
I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, but, like, it's not enough for me to see the glimpses of her, like, dancing around her living room.
Yeah.
No, bitch. She cannot be well adjusted. She's probably malnourished.
Well, we also don't know. Was that a flashback or was that?
That's so present? Facts.
Yeah.
That's
I don't
so
know.
Facts. I don't know. Does she live? Does she die? Do they catch her?
Another question. She's a motherfucking surgeon.
Yes.
Why was their life so miserable?
No, literally. It's because he was a leech.
But why were they living in the grossest apartment?
Because she's
and
probably...
why was he the grossest person when she's a no, motherfucking literally.
I know.
Surgeon.
You know what I think it is? I think that, like, I think for her, she was probably like a resident.
Okay.
As well, an avid whatever. Watcher of Grey's Anatomy, I would know. She's probably a resident and probably wasn't making very much money.
Mm-hmm.
So that answers your first question of, like, why the fuck do they live in this, like, disgusting ass apartment? Question, or, like, second question is, why the fuck is she with that gross guy? He probably wasn't always gross.
Well, sure.
And she probably just didn't have enough time to, like, dump his ass.
One of my favorite jokes online about Don't Worry, Darling is the tweet that just goes, why would he choose to be British?
No, literally. I just think I think it's like let's let Harry use his original accent because it's just so hot.
It's like, just so hot.
Let's just let like what that's just stupid.
I mean, he could have just been British and stayed.
He could have just I know, it's or fine. Just been American and stayed American. American.
Yeah, it's fine.
How? Why would you choose? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna
chosen
choose
nationality
Portuguese.
British.
I wanna speak. Speak Portuguese.
Let me
into the simulation.
I have a lot of questions about this movie. I know this is supposed to be about Florence, but the questions, they just keep coming.
Yeah. If one thing this movie did successfully is cause a lot of discussion about it, which is all
true.
Which honestly, they win.
Yeah. They got the press. They win.
They got their cake and they also ate it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a TikTok of a girl at a concert who she sees, she's at a Harry Styles concert.
Of course.
And she looks behind her at the VIP section. She sees Olivia Wilde. And she's like, oh my God, Olivia Wilde. She walks up to her to show her her tattoo because she got a tattoo from Don't Worry, Darling, because it's her all-time favorite movie and she wanted to show Olivia Wilde what a big impact she had on her. And I was like, this was not a terrible movie, but like you need better taste.
No, literally. I literally thought you were about to say Booksmart because I would have been like, oh, for sure.
Yeah. No, it's fucking Don't Worry, Darling. It's her favorite movie of all time.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, I know we're not, I know like we like bad movies, but that's just.
We don't like bad movies where there was an intention to be good. Really prestigious yeah. and it failed. That's not the bad movie I like.
That just makes me sad.
Exactly.
I hope that tattoo removal gets really good in the future.
Me too.
I sincerely hope that.
I agree.
For her skit.
Yeah.
That's really all I have to say about that.
That's also all I have to say about this movie.
Same here. That was Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
And we're just going to quickly read off their best boys.
Yeah, tell us who the best boys are, Monica.
All right. We've got three, baby. We've got three best boys. First one is, I love his name. James Coffin.
Yeah.
Greg Lopez. And Mark Mann.
Mark Mann.
All incredible names. Glorious names.
10 out of 10.
We love you all. Thank you for best boying.
Thank you for
film.
Being the best of boys.
Thank you so much for hanging out in Palm Springs for us.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually, was this shot in Palm Springs?
I believe it was.
Okay. Thank you for enduring hot ass Palm Springs for us.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not fun.
It's really not.
People like to pretend it's luxury. And I'm like, it's too toasty.
It's dry. I will say, like, I spent a lot of time in Palm Springs growing up because it was like, I don't know. I actually don't know. I'll have to question that later. But we used to, like, go to, like, little hotels that had, like, pools.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing is we wouldn't even go to a risk. I need to interrogate my childhood.
Enrique?
I know. But it was so fucking dry.
Yeah.
And at night, freezing. Because you're in the desert.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll just rain for like 1 minute and then it's done.
It's so weird.
It's an odd place.
The perfect place for a dystopian.
But I will say
headquarters.
The houses in Palm Springs.
Oh yeah, they're lit, dude.
Beautiful.
Lit.
These gorgeous mid-century modern houses, all the windows or all of the walls are like glass, like floor to ceiling.
Because whoever did Palm Springs as PR in the 60s.
Good job.
Good money.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job, you guys.
And we'll be right back. Now back to the show.
All right, Monica, tell us about the next film.
I will. Very gladly, actually.
Thank you.
The Wonder. It came out this year of our Lord 2022.
It actually came out like 2 weeks ago.
Literally. Literally. Written by Sebastian Lelio?
I guess
so. Lelio?
Lelio?
Lelio. Take literally any of those. I hope one of those are right.
Sure.
And Alice Birch, based on the novel by Emma Donahue, directed by Sebastian Lelio? Lelio? Lelio?
Lelio.
Lelio.
I don't know.
Lelio. Set in the Irish Midlands in 1862, the story follows a young girl who stops eating but remains miraculously alive and well. English nurse Lib Wright, played by Florence Pugh, is brought to a tiny village to observe 11-year-old Anna O'Donnell. Tourists and pilgrims mass to witness the girl, believing she is a saint, but Lib believes there are more obvious motives at work.
Ominous motives.
Ominous motives at work. Bum, bum, bum.
Literally, the plot of this movie is this bitch won't eat, so a panel of men are like, we're going to give, put a nurse in there and a nun in there.
To observe.
To observe her for 2 weeks to see what the fuck is going on.
Because honestly, it could be witchcraft.
It could be witchcraft, could be, they're more leaning towards sainthood.
Yeah, they're literally like, oh, we low-key have a saint in our village. That would be sick. That would bring in shmoney. That would bring in visitors. Yeah, like, exactly, yes, exactly, we want it. Yeah.
I was personally very hooked on this movie from the beginning. I do think it slogged a little in the middle. I also know that this isn't exactly your type of movie, Monica.
It's really not.
But I was really hooked right at the beginning because of the plot of like, yeah, there's this bitch who just won't eat. What the fuck is going on?
And I
was
LOL. Like,
yeah,
chaos.
What the fuck is going on?
Chaos.
And on top of it, the girl herself, they're just like, well, what have you been eating? You have to have been eating something. She goes, nothing but the manna of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck is manna from heaven?
I had to look it up, like what manna is. It's like bread from heaven.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It looks like a fucking like cracker.
It's like heaven bread.
Heaven bread.
Heaven bread.
It's bread from heaven. Heavenly bread. We love it.
But yeah, but also like, I also like this movie because it has this like, it's a period piece. It's very like dark and Irish and
it's very Irish,
you know, et cetera.
Where is Saoirse Ronan?
But it's also deeply creepy at moments. Like the whole subplot of Florence Pugh being just every night going ham on morphine.
I think it's
and
like
holding the baby shoes of her dead child
and like pricking her finger with her little needle and like drinking the blood.
Yeah, it's like, and being like, I'm gonna punish myself
for like letting my baby die.
Exactly, exactly.
And then she wakes up the next morning and is like, tip tip cheerio. Like,
I'm a nurse.
I'm a nurse. This movie, okay. I'll share my thoughts because obviously they're very different.
It's a podcast.
They're different from yours. I didn't love it. I didn't get into it.
That's fine.
I thought Flo was just gorgeous in this movie.
Dude, you, as soon as she comes in, you're just like, she's going to stir up some shit
Donin.
In this town. She's going to be a shit stirrer.
Literally. Like, first of all, low key the same, dressed the same as she was in Little Women.
Pretty much, except she's a brunette in this one.
It's also like low-key, obviously, a very different time period, a different country.
I think it's a similar time period.
Different country.
In a different country.
Yeah. Also, it's like the Irish famine or some shit.
The
like
famine has just happened.
Okay, it just happened?
Yeah.
Or it just ended?
Yeah, they talked something about it like...
They kept mentioning the
famine. They kept mentioning the famine. The famine.
I
want to say the fanim.
The fanim of the opera. The famine of the opera, where he just doesn't eat for a million years.
The famine of the opera!
Christine, bring me crackers. My moat! But seriously, I thought, okay... I thought the beginning of this movie was insane. Like, right. I at first I was like, wait, what's happening? Because the movie literally starts with the set of the film.
Right.
Like, so it invites you to, like, not even watch. I thought this, I had to, like, replay this a couple times because I was like, did they really say that? They don't invite you to watch it. They invite you to believe in the story.
Oh, I completely forgot about the fourth wall storyteller.
Literally. So there is a literal
storyteller
who's like, believe in this movie, yeah. Basically. Like, believe in this story because,
believe,
like,
in the wonder.
It's going to be fucking crazy, but, like, as long as you believe, it'll be fine. And I was like, okay, I'm going to believe.
Right, but it's all that it, in a way, it also makes it be like, is this real or is it not?
Is it not real? So, if you don't like spoilers, go away. If you don't care, if you've seen it like a good child, here it is. No, obviously she's not getting fucking mana from, like, the center of the earth or whatever.
Well, no, but they explain why. They explain what happens. And it's fucked up.
And it's fucked up.
It's fucking disgusting.
But she basically gets fed like a little bird because her mom kisses her on the mouth every
her
night.
Her mom gives her a big old mouth
and,
kiss.
And, like, slips her
every single night. And Florence is like, Florence realizes, like, okay, the family keeps visiting her and we need to get them away because otherwise we cannot figure out exactly what's going on. So they banish the family and everyone's really pissed off about it, which I don't understand because they brought her here to figure it out.
Yeah. So why would they be pissed about it?
Exactly.
We realize that they're pissed about it because the mom has been feeding her, like, again, like a little bird.
Like a little baby bird.
Slipping her, like, chewed up food into her mouth, like, uh-huh, every night. So she's not dying, but she's severely malnourished. She's starving. She's being starved by her family.
And then when the mom goes away, she really starts dying.
She's like, oh shit, now I'm not getting any food from the center of the earth.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
And so this bitch starts dying. And what does it do to Flo? It makes her fucking crazy. It makes her want to just, like, figure out how to feed this child.
Yeah.
Because, again, she lost her own baby.
Yes.
So now she is clinging onto this one, mm-hmm, even though she's, like, 11.
Well, and then the daughter reveals some crazy shit. She reveals why she's even pretending in the first place.
Yeah. So, like, major content warning, because this is, like, some crazy
shit. It's some
shit.
Fucked up shit.
So, like, trigger warning.
Yeah.
Sexual stuff, sexual assault.
Yeah.
Say what have you, feed it to us.
Yeah. So basically the daughter, who, by the way, she speaks very, like, I'm holy the whole time. She speaks in, like, weird fucking Bible verses. And
she does. She speaks like the kids in The Witch.
Yeah.
She speaks like that. Very just like old timey English. Very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But like but she Irish. Doesn't actually answer questions. She's just
like, God.
The Lord is blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, okay.
And the Lord tells us. And Florence is visibly annoyed every time.
Yeah. So they keep bringing up a couple times throughout the movie that, like, there was this brother that died, this older brother.
Like, tragically.
Yeah. Died tragically, whatever. And then come to find out, he had been sexually assaulting his little sister, the girl in the movie.
Since she was nine.
She was nine, and I think she's like 14 now. And when he died, he had told her that, like, if she also died, like, if she dies, he can come back or something like that. She believes that if she sacrifices herself, that he will come back to life. And so she's like, I'm going to do this because I'm in love with him. We married each other. And yeah. And Florence is just like, no.
Yeah. So there's this gorgeous scene. Obviously, this dialogue is incredibly hard to hear.
Yeah.
But the scene itself is beautiful. You have the little girl sitting on the bed, Florence sitting at her side. And she's, like, intensely listening, mm-hmm, to the little girl, like, tell her about her brother and what he's done. And the look that just falls on Florence's face, on her character's face, when she tells her, like, he did this to me.
Mm-hmm.
Very nonchalantly, by the way. At first it was, like, pulling teeth, but, like, when she got going, she was like, and this is what happened.
Yeah, and we were in love.
Yeah. And she goes, like, was it just the one time? Like, did it just happen the one time? Uh-huh. And she's like, no. Oh, like multiple times.
Not all the time.
All the time. And the look on Florence's face, it's like a baby masterclass in like just your face.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to explain, but like that one little scene is why she is literally going to take over Hollywood.
Yeah. Like her, all of my notes about her acting in this movie are all about how she can go from such big acting to such quiet, thoughtful acting. And it's like, she has such a unique way of being so dialed in to her own feelings and to the feelings of whoever she is in a scene with, that you like hang on to every word and to like every expression she makes, because you're like, I trust you. She's a very like trustworthy actor to hitch your, you know, wagon to in a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you know that you're going to experience the full like emotional gamut that that film has to offer. And you're also going to be like witnessing something very beautiful.
Absolutely. I also think that, like, frankly, the little girl, I don't know her name. I don't know the actress's name, but she's such a good little actor.
I'll tell you, her name is Keela Lord Cassidy. I don't know. She's Irish. So I don't know if I'm pronouncing
Keela
that
Lord Cassidy. Keela Lord Cassidy.
Yeah.
How do you say that in an Irish accent?
I don't know.
Oh. Oh.
Keela.
Keela.
Keela. Kai. It's K-I with an accent, L-A. Oh.
Keela Lord Cassidy. Who knows?
But anyway, yeah. That it just really fucked me up. And then the other moment that really fucked me up in this movie, that is like the big culmination,
I think,
the movie, is when Florence is like, so this child is dying. And everyone's like, that's fine. If she's going to die, she's going to die, because it is the Lord's will. And Florence is like, simply no.
Like, simply shut the fuck
simply
up.
Simply, she does not have to die.
Simply get fucked.
And she also acknowledges this child has so much trauma and is also deeply religious, that there's like literally no way that she can talk her out of eating or going like, yeah, your brother fucked you up. Like, there's no way for her to explain this. So instead, she kidnaps her, takes her into the Irish moors, and is like sitting with her on the ground. And she's like, basically like, okay, it's your time to go. You can die. But when you die, you're immediately going to be reborn as a new little girl. And your name is going to be Nan, and you're 9 years old, which is the age that she was when all of that bullshit started.
Yep.
And you're going to come back to Earth. And so she quote unquote dies.
Like fake dies.
And comes back, and she's like, I am Nan, I am 9 years old. And then she starts eating. And
like, it was like some, so maybe you can explain this better than I can.
Yeah. But
it was difficult for me to understand, because she didn't actually die. She kind of just like closed her eyes and then like came back into her body or whatever. And then was like, I'm Nan now.
Yeah.
So was it like a psychological reset or something that happened to her?
I mean, I don't know how literal it's supposed to be, but like, I think what we're supposed to believe is that she's so close to death. She's so depleted. She's so like mentally in and out as it is. And she deeply trusts Florence Pugh's character. Like, okay, we do know that. Like, she deeply, deeply trusts her. And so, and she's also deeply religious. And so I think she genuinely believes, okay, I'm dying. Mm-hmm. And when she hears Florence Pugh's voice go, now come back, Nan, come back, I think she's like, okay, I'm back now and I'm Nan. And I think it, obviously she still has her memories of her life, et cetera, right, et cetera. She's still like, she's in the same place she was before. Nothing has changed. Florence Pugh is still there. But I think something in it allow, like, mentally opens a block to allow her to like not carry her trauma anymore.
Totally.
And to like allow her to eat again. That's at least how I interpreted it.
Wild.
But it is, it's like a beautiful, beautiful moment between the two of them.
It basically allows Florence Pugh to successfully kidnap this child and make her her own.
Yeah,
literally.
She does.
Because that's literally the ending.
She stages the child's death and she kidnaps her and they all take on different names. And P.S., she's been fucking the village journalist.
Yeah, there's a very, like, the only word I can use to describe it is awkward. There's, like, very awkward old-timey sex happening where she's, like, up against the wall.
A lot of skirts.
Her massive dress is just, like, draping over him.
Yeah.
And it's, like, they're very awkwardly grabbing onto each other's, like, faces. It's the most awkward.
It's really awkward.
It's very awkward. It's, like, there's nothing sensual about it. They're just, like, two little, like, miniature wildebeests in, like, period garb. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very awkward.
But anyway, yeah. So they go and they build a new life and the end.
That's
and she doesn't get caught. They move to Australia. So, like, you know, straight up, she's never going to get caught.
Good day, mate.
Never, like, going
to
happen.
Especially not, like, in this period of
Ireland
time.
To Australia in the 1860s? Nothing. Fuck no. Yeah. No, nothing's going to happen. Mm-mm. So everything's going to be fine.
Nothing's going to harm you. Not while I'm around and in Australia.
Yeah. Also, the score in this movie is stunning.
There's, like, a lot of breathing and, like, breath in it.
Yeah, it's really, really
It's beautiful. Very, well, it's a little sad. The reason why is because obviously the little girl is fucking starving.
She's dying.
And she's, like, wheezing. So, like, that breath is in there.
Yeah.
But it is a gorgeous score.
Yeah. It's a really, really beautiful score. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, I loved seeing Florence's maternal side.
Yes, that's what I was also going to say. This felt like a very mature
twinning
role, yes, for her. She felt very grown up, very maternal, very, like, powerful, yet still.
She was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Like a stable pillar.
Yeah. It's a very different movie that we've seen from her in the last couple years. And I think it's a really beautiful performance and a very powerful one.
I will say this. I'll end with this.
Tell me.
It is a movie for the adults.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is not for the kids. Well, do you know what I mean?
It's not an entertaining movie. Like, it has no replay value.
I would never watch this movie again.
I'm never going to be like, you know what I feel like watching? The Wonder.
And frankly, I can't say that I, like, think you guys should, like, run out and go see it.
No,
the way that
I think if what we just told you about it is intriguing to you, then you should go watch it.
Go watch it. If starving girl doesn't eat, Florence eventually kidnaps her and makes her Nan. If that makes you happy.
Nan.
Or, like, if that intrigues you. Please go watch it.
Please do.
But I think that it gives her, like, a really solid performance. You know what? It reminds me of, like, when big Hollywood actors go back to do, like, an off-Broadway play.
Yeah.
That's exactly, like, this is that vibe.
Where this she's like a great play.
Yeah, where she was like, you know what? I've been doing a lot of, like, blockbuster shit. This is my next thing. I'm just going to do this, like, crazy period piece. It's not going to be, like, you know, big blockbuster sweeping.
Despite being released by Netflix.
No, literally. But they also released, like, multiple A Christmas Prince and The Princess Switch.
Listen,
so
the person with ultimate range is Netflix.
We've got Love is Blind. We've got Indian Power of the Dog.
Truth.
We've got The Truth, Wonder.
There's a lot of crazy shit.
We've got the Gilmore Girls reboot. A year in the life. There's a lot of shit on Netflix. Yeah. They're going down soon. It's fine. It is. They're like one of those sinking ships. They're the Titanic. Beautiful.
I watched a whole video about this, about how, like, the shit about media crashing is a lie because we just went through a period of media being inflated by the pandemic. So, like, of course it's going to re-regulate itself.
Obviously.
Which I believe.
I think media, yes. I think Netflix, nor. I think, like, they need to do something really drastic.
They need to chill.
Yeah, they need to chill the fuck out. Do I believe that there's a lot of content out there? Yes. Do I think that there's too much?
Yes.
Actually, yes. Do I think that a lot of it is quantity over quality?
Yes.
Absolutely. Do I also think that there's really good shit being made out there?
Yeah.
Yes. And do I think that Netflix needs to chill the fuck out and, like, do something really fucking drastic to fix their business model? Yes.
There's a lot of yeses happening.
There's so many yeses. I'm Jim Carrey. Yes, man.
Yes, ma'am.
Zooey Deschanel is going to ride on the back of my fucking scooter and we're just going to drive.
You go, girl.
Vroom, vroom.
Also, tell me who the best boy in The Wonder is.
I absolutely will.
Because there's only one.
There's only one, and he also has a brilliant name.
Yeah.
The best boy for The Wonder Kevin Fox.
You go, Kevin Fox.
You go, Kevin Fox. Great movie. If you have the time, if you have the bandwidth, yeah, watch it.
Watch it.
Otherwise, just trust that Florence Pugh gave a stellar performance.
Yes.
She gave massive Irish Mama Bear vibes.
Seriously, yeah.
And we wish her character the best in Australia.
I really do. That is our month of Pugh.
That was our month of Pugh. Oh. I'm excited to see her in more stuff.
Me too. Next month, we will be doing a bunch of Christmas shit.
Krampus.
And then stay tuned for 2023. We're kicking off with an amazing best boy.
The greatest of the great.
The greatest of the great.
Frankly, if you're not thinking about him right now, you should be.
I sent you a pic of his sons today.
Yeah, his sons are
surprisingly hot.
They're also, I'm pretty sure, underage.
They were
born in the 2000s.
They're
20?
One of them is. I was trying not to tell the audience that they wouldn't guess.
LOL.
One of the sons was 20 that I sent you a picture of. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, I was trying to figure out how old they were because they look like they're 40. But when I figured out their real age, I was like, what? Oh,
they look young to me. They look very young to me.
No, they look old. I did not look like...
You're 24. Everyone looks old to you.
I didn't... What are you talking about?
I look 40 to you.
You literally don't. I threw you... I made you one of those slideshows with you as a teenager in it. And I swear to shit, minus like... a millimeter of like BB fat in the face, you look the same. So don't fucking at me right now. All of your friends look the fucking same. I looked at everyone.
I'm gonna kick you out of your own house.
This is my house.
And with that, you're the best, Monica.
You're the best, Jessica.
Have a lovely evening.
You too.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.